Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and on today's Basic Gospel program, we continue with our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide, based on the book of the same name by my friend Bob Christopher. I hope you have a copy. If not, you can go online to basicgospel.net and click the Simple Gospel book link on the right-hand side of the home page. That will get one coming to you very, very quickly. Now, this is a study edition, of course, so we will not be taking live phone calls today, but the voicemail line is always open for you, so you can get your questions to us at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're on page 16 of our study guide for today, and we'll try to get as much done as we possibly can, maybe even finish this chapter two. But in this chapter, we're talking about repentance. We're talking about Paul's story, Paul's conversion. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a rising star as far as Judaism was concerned. He was on site when the Jewish leaders were stoning Stephen to death for his so-called blasphemy. And he condoned that act, and he was angered over Stephen rejecting Judaism and latching on to Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And he was so angered by that, he wanted to get papers authorizing him to go to Damascus to drag Christians away and lock them up, to put them in prison, to put them in chains. And all in an attempt to rid the world of this new sect called the Way, the followers of Jesus Christ. And then we all know the story. A blinding light stopped him dead in his tracks on the road to Damascus, and he encountered the Lord Jesus. He heard a voice, "Paul, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am the Lord Jesus Christ." And everything changed at that moment for the Apostle Paul. We call that repentance. We call that going from death to life. We call that being born again of the Spirit of God. That's what that salvation experience is all about. But it begins with this change of thinking that took place as far as Paul was concerned. Now, this moment, we have this written on in the middle of page 16. This Damascus Road experience was a moment of clarity for Paul. Now, Jesus was not the renegade Paul thought that he was. And that's exactly how Paul looked at Jesus, as a renegade, as an insurrectionist, as a troublemaker that needed to be done away with. So Paul learned that Jesus was not this renegade, that he was both Lord and God. That's who Jesus is. So this encounter turned Paul from unbelief to belief. So remember, the sin of the world is this. It is unbelief in Jesus Christ. Paul, up until that Damascus Road experience, was living in that sin of unbelief. He had rejected Jesus Christ as his Messiah. He had rejected Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. He had rejected Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. So everything that Jesus had claimed about himself while he was here teaching among the people, Paul rejected. Paul said, "No, that can't be true." And he had an opinion about Jesus based on those crazy claims. And all that changed. So Paul was living as an unbeliever until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his heart was turned from unbelief to belief in Jesus. It was a 180 degree turn. So it was not only in the recognition that Jesus was and is God, but also in his understanding concerning the plan of God. And oftentimes, we think, as far as apologetics is concerned, we need to talk about the identity of Jesus Christ. We need to go over his claims concerning the fact that he was God in human flesh, that he was both fully God and fully man. And absolutely, we need to We need to talk about that. We need to talk about that in depth. This man named Jesus is no ordinary man.
No.
No ordinary man at all. So we need to understand that. But we also need to change our mind concerning the plan of God for you and for me. Now, Paul thought the plan of God was being spelled out for him through the law. That's how he was processing those Old Testament scriptures, that God gave the law, they were to live that out, and in living that out, they could become a blessing to the world. But that was not the purpose of the law. The law was never God's plan as far as salvation was concerned. There was another plan that had always been in place, that had always been in the heart and mind of God, that was going to be carried out in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So let's look at a couple of these passages that we have listed here in chapter 2. And we're going to start first in Romans chapter 7. So Paul gets some insight in this particular passage concerning the law and the purpose of the law. So starting in verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 11, he says this, "I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me." So what did Paul learn about the law when he really opened up his eyes and his heart to see it from God's perspective? He saw that in the law were righteous requirements, righteous standards that he could not live up to. And when he got down to that last commandment, the 10th commandment that said, "Do not covet," he was undone.
Yeah.
He unraveled like a cheap sweater. He had nothing at that point as far as anything that he could offer to God as a good work that would grant him entry into heaven, that would give him access into the very presence of God. So the law became this ministry of death to him. So he saw that the law, what he once thought as the means for eternal life, actually became the means of death. Now, it wasn't the law that killed him. It was sin that killed him. But the law is the very thing that gave him the knowledge of his sin and the very knowledge of the fact that he stood condemned in the very sight of God.
Yeah.
So the law was not the plan of God. And so Paul's mind had to be changed concerning the plan of God as far as salvation was concerned, as far as he was concerned, as far as how to bless the world was concerned. So he had to change his mind concerning the plan of God. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul, in this particular section of 2 Corinthians, he takes the old covenant and he takes the new covenant and he puts them side by side like a T-chart and he starts comparing them point by point. So as far as the law is concerned, he says that this law, these commandments that were etched on tablets of stone. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
He's not talking about the rituals and all of those sort of things. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. And he says that these commandments became a ministry of death, that the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So his mind had to be changed concerning the plan of God. It was not through obedience to the law. No, the only way that he could experience eternal life was through the Spirit. And we're going to get into more detail as to what the Spirit brings to the table.
It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us for this Friday study edition. And it's through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide from Bob Christopher's book of the same title. And Bob recounts through that book that through many struggles in his high school and college days, he came to understand that the gospel is not about being better and doing better and trying harder to please God, but about simply resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the way your Christian life is really supposed to work. The simple gospel is, as we've said, simply grace. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net and order your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and the accompanying study guide, and allow God's grace to do its work in your life. Again, you'll find them both at basicgospel.net. Back to our study, and again, here's Bob.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Paul's mind, and this is true for every one of us when it comes to repentance, our mind gets changed concerning Jesus and concerning the plan of God. So we turn away from what we thought was right, from what we thought, from where we thought real life could be had. We turn away from that and we turn to Jesus Christ. That's the changing of the mind. So that happened for Paul on the road to Damascus. In your life, it happened when you encountered the gospel of Jesus Christ and you saw him for who he really is and understood that he died for you, that he was buried, and that he was raised back to life. You discovered that that was the plan of God for you, to save you and to draw you unto himself. Mm-hmm. That was God's plan. Well, Paul learned that. And so we've read Romans 7, 9 through 11. We've read 2 Corinthians 3, 6, realizing that the ministry of the law is to kill. The ministry of the Spirit is to give life. That's this new covenant. And Paul really spells this out for us in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you want to know what the gospel is, if you want to know where it's laid out in its simplest, purest form, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, and 4 is where to find that. Now, this is one of those passages you need to underline. It's a passage that you should memorize. It's just a passage that you should share with as many people as you possibly can. Why? Because this is the good news. So let me just read 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you." So when Paul went into the city of Corinth, he came preaching the gospel. He didn't make up a story. He didn't do any of those sort of things. He just came into that town with words, humble words, and plainly proclaimed this gospel message. He preached it, and they received it, and they took a stand on this gospel message. And in taking that stand, they were saved. And so he goes on and says, "This is what I received. This is what I delivered to you." He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." So if you want to know what's top priority as far as God is concerned, you're about to hear it. Yeah. It became top priority for Paul, and it needs to become top priority for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. So what is the gospel message? What is the gospel that Paul received? What is the gospel message that he preached? He preached that Christ died for our sins, that Christ was buried, and then Christ was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures. That's what he preached. That's the story. That is the news that happened. And that's the news that we proclaim. And within that story is power. There's the power unto salvation within that story. So when we believe that story, guess what happens? The power of salvation hits our hearts and saves us. It makes us alive together with Christ Jesus. There's no other way that we could receive life other than through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, Bob, when you look at this story, and you realize that the Bible calls it the good news story, it really starts on a down note, doesn't it? It starts with death. Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. When Jesus told his disciples that this was going to happen to him, that he was going to be handed over to the religious leaders, he was going to be persecuted and mocked and all of these things, he was going to be flogged, and then he was going to be crucified, They didn't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to process it. Peter got into Jesus's face and said, "No, Lord, this isn't going to happen to you." And the other times that he tells the disciples the same thing, as his eyes and his face is pointed toward Jerusalem for this event to take place, they just didn't get it. They didn't understand why their friend, their Lord, their Messiah had to die. But that's the story. It had to be this way. Why? Because resurrection only happens after death. So if resurrection is to occur for Jesus, he had to die. Mm-hmm. If resurrection is to occur for you and me, we have to die. So that's what takes place. So Paul, instead of trying to climb the spiritual ladder through his obedience to the law, he realized, no, that God's plan for him was to die in Christ so that he could be raised to walk in the newness of life. Just as Christ died for our sins, he was raised on that third day, you and I experience that same reality. We die in Christ, and then we're raised again to walk in the newness of life. So that's why this story is so important for us to understand in its fullness. It's not simply that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. That's only the first chapter, the opening salvo, as some would say. But it has a very happy ending, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the resurrection of you and me as well. And that's good news, and we're going to get to a story with a happy ending that really brings this point home.
Well, it is very good news from the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, actually from the Scripture, and I think that's even better. But Simple Gospel, Simply Grace has made a wonderful impact in so many lives, and we're glad to present these Friday editions through the study guide. Well, friends, your support for Basic Gospel is vital if we're to continue to produce radio and internet programming and resources to help you and others hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. People everywhere need to hear that God has provided the way for them to live forever in His loving care, and you can be a part of keeping this good news coming to everyone who hears. We hope you'll make your gift today online, and if you can do that, go to basicgospel.net, and you can click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. We would love to have your support, love for you to step up and stand with us here at Basic Gospel. Now, just before we get back to our study, we invite you to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live. That's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, on both Facebook and YouTube. You'll find direct links to both Facebook and YouTube at the top of our homepage. That, again, is at basicgospel.net. So that's Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Mornings Live with Bob Christopher. We hope you'll join.
Well, thanks, Bob. So back to our study. We're going to look at Galatians 2 and really look at a summary statement that Paul makes about what this gospel is all about, what the plan of God really is, and how he had to change his mind from the law to the grace of God. Mm-hmm. So in Galatians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, we read this: "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God." So Paul once was fully alive to the law. He thought that was the way to gain access into God's presence, to be God's guy, to be the way to carry out the plan of God for the world. But Paul died to that. He died to that plan so that he could live for God. So what he was saying here is that, in essence, if I'm trying to do it through the law, then I'm not living for God. I'm living for myself. So he died to the law, and then he says this: "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And then he says, "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if justification were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." So Christ died, and when we come to faith in him, we die as well. We've been crucified with Christ, and then we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. That is the plan of God. It is death, burial, and resurrection. It happened 2,000 years ago as far as Jesus Christ was concerned. It happens to us the moment that we believe the gospel, the moment that we believe the good news. We die in Christ. We're buried with him through baptism. We're raised to walk in the newness of life. So Paul got the message. Paul caught on. He changed his mind, and he changed it in such a powerful way, or God changed it in such a powerful way, he became the chief proclaimer of this good news.
Right.
Now, we see a story in John chapter 11 that really underscores this point, and it happened with Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. So Lazarus was sick. Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, hey, our brother is sick, come quickly. They wanted to see a miracle in Lazarus's life. They had been followers of Jesus. They had watched him perform miracle after miracle as far as healings were concerned, and that's what they were hoping for. That's what they were expecting when they sent word to Jesus, that he would come on the scene. He would say a word to Lazarus. He may touch him in a certain way or something like that and bring healing to him. And he could get up and just resume life as normal. But Jesus stayed away. He stayed away for a number of days. And in that time, Lazarus died. He was buried. And then finally, Jesus shows up on the scene. And it's 4 days later, and the body is starting to decay and starting to stink and all those sort of things. And Mary and Martha were none too happy.
Yeah.
They were ticked at Jesus. Jesus, if only you had come, this would have never happened. Martha said the same thing, probably the first time in their lives that they were on the same page.
Agreed, yeah.
And even the crowd that was there, there to help them mourn and grieve the death of their brother, they were saying the same thing. If only he had come sooner, this would not have happened. Now, that just shows how limited we are from a human perspective. When death occurs, we think that's the end. As far as the good news story, that's just the beginning. We die in Christ, we're buried in Christ, we're raised to walk in the newness of life. So from the human's perspective, death is final. Death is dark. Death is bleak. There's no hope after death. As far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, that's when his power really comes into play. He has power over death, and that's why he proclaimed to Mary and Martha in the crowd, "I am the resurrection and the life." And after he said this, he said, "Roll away the stone," and he called to Lazarus, "Come out," and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw what the plan of God was all about, that even though we die, we will live forever. Why? Because he, Jesus, is the resurrection and the life. That is the plan of God, for us to die in Christ, for us to be buried with Christ, for us to be raised with Christ, so that we could walk in the newness of life, which is a Spirit-led walk. That's why this is good news, and that's why it takes the Spirit of God to really open up our eyes to see this for what it is and to turn our hearts from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, just like the Spirit did with the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
So what's the good news? The death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The moment you believed, that happened to you. You've been raised to walk in the newness of life.
Great news, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us today. To get your copy of the study guide, just click the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book link on the homepage of our website at basicgospel.net, and you'll be ready for next Friday's study. Keep in mind, too, that we need your partnership in this gospel message to keep this good news coming. Donate now or over the weekend at basicgospel.net. We're in this together, friends, so let's pull together and make it happen. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, again inviting you to join Bob online Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central, for Sunday Morning Live. Link to either Facebook or YouTube at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this time, everybody. So stay safe, have a great weekend, and join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.